as the bearers of the truth, as the examples of Jesus Christ, as the ones who are commissioned and called and empowered and enabled to be the examples of good, the examples of Christ's life, the example of God, not us, it has to be said that you have worked through this portion of your life with God to give yourself away, to give yourself up, to put away your will, to put away your knowledge, your self-importance, to put away what you are. And that causes trouble. That causes difficulty. The idea that we do not fit into society's cool table. We're not part of this world anymore. That takes work. Jobs, families, friends, and just common acquaintances, just people you talk to.
Why do you do that?
Well, here's why. And you've gone through that, some of us for decades, some of us for years. Thank you for that. That work is appreciated not only by God, certainly by his people, by his church, as we pray for each other. I pray for you. I pray for your perseverance. I pray for your growth. I pray for you individually and your concern that you will dedicate yourself even more to God's design for you. You were built, you were designed, you were created, you were sustained, you're forgiven, and you're empowered. And that is more important than anything else there is to think about. Human history is a record of God's potential children made to be fully in his image, like him, seeing him as he is, in his family, being allowed, and this is by God's design for us, being allowed to choose. We're allowed to decide. Are we going to take our life to ourselves today, or this moment, or this year? Or are we going to trust that God knows more about me and my position and the church's position and humanity's position and state than I know? Who am I going to trust? This society, me, or God? Humans did not evolve. They didn't make themselves. Because that's really what evolution teaches. We figured out, step by step, how to be better. Now, the way they explain it isn't like that, but that's really what we're saying, that lower animals and plants figured out how to make better animals and plants. And now we have figured out how to make us. We didn't make us. David says that. We did not make us, we ourselves. We certainly did not design us. And the idea that we would know how a human being is designed is absurd. We don't. We certainly couldn't understand our purpose, because if we were designing a being, we wouldn't be able to give it a purpose, a divine purpose. We're not divine. But we have a divine purpose, and it's built into us to know that. We just don't know necessarily what it is. We didn't develop ourselves through our endeavors. We didn't develop ourselves through our intelligence. We didn't develop ourselves through our experiences. We didn't. We don't develop ourselves. God does, or we're wasting life. Humans are not in charge as they think they are, as they imagine themselves to be. They do not truly create anything. Well, sure we do. No, we don't, because we don't create from nothing. We manipulate what's already here. We don't discover. We don't invent. We only find what's already there, what's already made possible. And we certainly do not legislate righteous morality. We're just incompetent and impotent. But we sure know how to run our life. And that's the lesson that God wants us to understand. You have a choice. You can choose life from Him or choose life you decide on your own. What God allows and gives life to humans is a remarkable idea. We get to choose. We don't create, we don't invent, we don't legislate, but we get to choose. Monkeys don't get to choose. Dolphins don't have a sense of eternal purpose. Oak trees do not know how to be righteous. But we get a chance to live and move and have our being as God has given it to us to know how to do that. And our conscious choice to prioritize God, prioritize His design, prioritize the purpose for Him that He has, and our design purpose for us with Him. When we prioritize Him, that allows Him to develop in us kingdom level dedication. Kingdom level dedication. If this was the kingdom, would we be dedicated the way we are now? If everyone in the world, every living human being were at peace and unity and under God, would we be dedicated the same way as we are now, where we are put on our own to face society and Satan? Kingdom level dedication is what's required to be in the kingdom. So we'll take a look at three elements of it, kingdom level dedication. First, we'll consider humility from God. Humility from God. And then living with God right now. Living with God now. And then finally, how that can be done. And how we may do this and teach it to others. What an idea. So the first point is simple. God is creator. God is creator, designer, protector, sustainer, savior. Not us. Ever. So why would I go through all that to say that? What's the point? Well, you know, we probably ought to work on the Sabbath sometimes, because that's what God would want, since we have to take care of our family. See, that's taking God's prerogative away from Him. Well, I'm not so sure I think this church knows what it's talking about. Okay? God says He works in specific ways through specific people and shows you, if you're willing to listen to Him, who to trust. Oh, so God is creator. He is the designer, He's the protector, He's the sustainer, the savior, not us. We don't get to decide how this works. We don't get to do that. What we get to do is choose whether we're going to let him be in charge of our life or not. So that's our first point. Let's turn to Genesis 1. Oh, no, we're going to go to the two trees. All right, let's not do that. Let's go to Genesis 1, though. That's a good place to start, and we'll go all the way to Revelation part of the way through here. No, we won't, not all the way. But anyway, Genesis 1, and this is an interesting concept. This really is an interesting concept. And, you know, every word of the Bible is inspired. So why not take a look at words we haven't thought about before? Genesis 1, verse 22. Genesis 1, 22. Now remember, think about this a minute. This is God. He's not, what's the name of that fella in the movies that can talk to the animals? What is it, Dr. Zeus? Not, who is that fella? Anyway, I can't think. Huh? Doolittle. He's not Dr. Doolittle. He's not Dr. Doolittle. But he makes the animals here, and then he talks to them. Genesis 1, 22. And God blessed them, the animals, saying, who's he talking to? Saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Or you could explain this as he was empowering these animals to be fruitful and multiply. Think about it. When they were created, they were alive, but could they multiply? Could they bear fruit and fill the earth until he told them to? Apparently not. Why bring that up? Verse 28 is why. Verse 28, and then God blessed them. Who's them? The people. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over everything that moves on the earth. I wonder if it's occurred to you that Adam and Eve had never seen death. They didn't know what death was. They had never seen anybody but them. They never had children. They didn't know about societies. They didn't know about cities. They didn't know about companies. They didn't know about governments or religions. They didn't know about any of that. And so he told them, empowered them. That's why we looked at the animals first. He empowered them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He gave them that ability. Well, that's all nice. Then verse 31, and this is important. Verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Back up. Everything was very good. Everything was very good. He had set in place life, which was going to multiply and fill the earth, and that was good. The way he had done it was good. Very good. Remember, Christ was asked, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And what is his answer? Don't call me good. Why do you call me good? Only one is good, God, the Father. So why is he saying this way here in Genesis? It's because this is of God. The creation is of God because it's good here. It's good here. It got corrupted pretty quickly, but it was good here. And the corruption was man-made. And Satan made of what? Bearing fruit and multiplying. Well, that's just a physical thing. John 15. John 15. Jumping over a lot of the book there, aren't you? Yeah. John 15. That's just a spiritual thing. No, it's just a physical thing, this multiplying and filling the earth and bearing fruit and God saying it's all good the way he created it. And that's all just physical stuff. Right? Okay, John 15, verse 5. John 15, 5. I, Christ says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me. Meaning in him all the time. All the time. Which isn't a human ability at all. And I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. With me you bear much fruit. And then, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. What's all that about? God created good. And the good was to bear fruit, fill the earth, and multiply, and then we find out later there's a spiritual application of that. That was just the physical type. There's a spiritual application of bearing fruit. Well, I must be more converted. No, it means to fill the earth with good. God is recreating himself. And the way this is done is through children who understand they are responsible to create with God more children. That's what he's doing. He's recreating himself. Well, what's that got to do with me in kingdom level dedication? Okay, creation is for God. Creation is by God and it's for him. It is, you are not created for you. He didn't create creation for you or me. He didn't create creation for you or me. He didn't create creation for you or me. He created creation and you for him. But I have a mind and a free will. Yes, for him. But I can choose. Yes, for him. But I have a purpose that I sense that I have value. Yes, for him. You are created for him. And we are included in that creation. And we can't override that purpose. We can't override that. Try it. Watch what happens in 6,000 years of human history. Overriding God's purpose leads to death. It doesn't work. So, what we find in heaven are millions of angels immediately around his throne who praise him, honor him, hallow him, and what else? Support him, serve him. Or another way to put it is, agree with him because of what he is, what he does, how he does it, and what life is like when we agree with him instead of having our own way of life, which one angel decided to do and took a third of the angels with him. And we are influenced through our entire lives by that group. We're still breathing. We have more to learn. God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ are thankful for your work. They understand what you're doing. Maybe beyond anything we can imagine, they understand it. And they're very, very deeply concerned about our state with them. 1 Corinthians 15. How concerned are they? 1 Corinthians 15. About our state of being in this world, this horrible place that isn't the kingdom, that is ruled over by the God of this world who deceives everyone, including us as we have come out of it. And we come up with our own ideas about how to observe God's way and live with him and be by him and be of him. We've figured it all out ourselves. And no, we haven't figured anything out. We were created for him. We'll see that. 1 Corinthians 15, 28. 15, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 15, 28. Now, when all things are made subject to him, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Interesting phrase. God intends that kingdom-level dedication is required, and here's what it means. God would be all there is to be concerned about, and it will be in all beings. He will be all in all. And that's supposed to start here, right now. God is continuing creation. It hasn't stopped. He's continuing it. The fact that we're breathing and thinking and choosing, he's doing that right now. We're not yet perfect humans, and we can see our lack of commitment and our lack of dedication. We can even see how much corruption we let in, because God allows us to see ourselves. God's design and his purpose for you is beyond and superior to human interactions, not the other way around. We can't hurt him. We can't harm him. We can't take from him. We can't really give anything to him. He owns everything. God's purpose and design is superior to human interactions, not the other way around. Here's what I think. Here's my plan for what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go to God, and he'll back me up. That is being superior to God. I'm deciding what needs to be done, and then God is my servant, so he'll back me up. And if you've never done that, congratulations, because you're the only person in all the history of mankind that hasn't. God, help me with this test. God, help me with this job. God, help me with this person. God, help me. Instead of, God, what do you want? Let this cup pass from me, but your will be done. That's how you talk to God. You dare talk to God. How I dare talk to him. Hebrews 1. Let's go back to Hebrews 1 in a second, just a second. Kingdom level dedication is total. It requires grasping who's in charge of life. Now, we could go through John 1 and show that Jesus Christ is God, was with God, he was the Word, and he became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and that he made all things. We could show that, but that's taking time to do something we already have seen multiple times. But here in Hebrews 1, look at verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. So God has revealed himself multiple ways, and he spoke to the prophets, and then it got written down, and so we can see what he said. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So now he sent someone to example to us what total dedication is. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom all he also he made the worlds. He made everything. Now, it goes without saying that since we're created, we're designed. So humans are designed, we're created, we're sustained with God's intent and desire for us to continue in good life forever. That's how God sees us. He does not see us as doomed. He tells us when we depart from him and having him as a priority that that's going down the road to death, but he does not see us as doomed. Let's go over to, we're in Hebrews, let's go over to Hebrews 2, just across the page actually. Hebrews 2, 9. Hebrews 2, verse 9. Our future and our hope and our purpose and our reason for breathing comes from God for God. Hebrews 2, 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, some say a little while lower, a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That means the grace of God is applied to us, not to him. It's applied to us because he paid for us. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve being forgiven. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, this is Christ, bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So he was able to go through the life we go through and not sin. He became perfect. Both he who sanctifies, meaning set apart from this world, and those who are being sanctified, set apart from this world, are all of one. Not split up, not divided into I have a job, I have a school, I have a career, I have a thought, I have a thing, I have a doctrine. No, we're all under God. God's in charge. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. God has given us to the Father. And the Father has given us to Jesus Christ. You know, we're called to him, and then he reveals the Father. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. That's a fascinating phrase. That's a fascinating phrase. He would destroy the one who has the power of death. What's that got to do with us? Well, we won't die. Okay. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So why is it that we're sinning? Why do we sin? Why do we leave God? Why do we come up with reasons to not be totally dedicated? We're afraid of death. No, I'm not afraid of death. I rarely think about it. If I don't work on the Sabbath, I'll lose my home. That's a fear. I'll live under a bridge and die of thirst and cold. That's a fear. I have cancer, so I'm going to die. I'm afraid. I don't know. I just don't know how to go on. That's a fear. God's in charge of life. His design and purpose for us is superior to our endeavors. We cannot override his design and his purpose for us. He's in charge of our lives. He takes care of the plants and the birds, and he will take care of us. See how he talks? He thinks of us with a purpose and a hope. He doesn't look at us as doomed. Verse 16, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make replacement, that's what that means, for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are also tempted. That means we have a high priest. What a priest does is talk to God for the people. And what a king does is talk to the people for God. So our high priest and our king talks in two directions, to us and to God, for us and for God, back and forth and back and forth. And our contact with the Father and with that God family, him and his Father, is through Jesus Christ, who is either our God or he's not. And we are totally dedicated to him or we're not. So the first thing is that God is our creator. He's our designer. He's our protector. He's our sustainer. And he's our savior. Never us. Not us. Ever. Under any circumstances, no matter how we want to imagine it, we're not in charge. It's certainly not the way we think we are. The second point is we work and live by and for God, not man. We work and live for God, not man. Man cannot tell us what to do, cannot motivate us to sin, cannot hurt us, cannot destroy our connection to God, unless we let them. 1 Corinthians 8. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians here, and let's go to the 8th chapter this time. 1 Corinthians 8. What will it be like in the kingdom when everyone is already worshiping, honoring, praising, glorifying, hallowing God? It'll be a lot easier. And there won't be any Satan. There would be peace. The Prince of Peace will rule the world. We'll be grateful for everything we have, which is life itself. Are we grateful for the next day? It's a gift. All right. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Yet for us, verse 6, there is only one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we are. We are for God. We were made by him, created by him, sustained by him, saved by him, provided for by him. We are for him. Yes, but I have my own mind. Well, that's, see how well that works for you. How well it works for me. It doesn't work. We are for him. We have to give up our control. We never really were in control. We will see God's design, his creation plan, and we will also see our ignorant, impotent, temporal humanity, which we are, and see ourselves as a slave of God, who tells us not what to think, but what to choose, how we react to him. And we'll be among those in the world who don't see any of that, as people who are educated and aware and loving of this world, of these people that God is working with, just as God is. But that'll only happen of God. That's how you end up loving your enemies, because they are God's enemies too, and he still loves them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Any of this sound familiar? The reality is we aren't in charge, and everything is under God, including us. Well, all sounds good, but turn over here to Colossians 3. It all sounds good, but what's the big but? Well, it is that I can't concentrate on God and prayer and humility and learning and serving and work too, or school or family. I can't do it. It's not possible. So what I'll do is I'll say to myself that what's going on is, once a week, there's a block of time where I concentrate on God, probably not very well then either, but I'll concentrate on God, and then there are all the feast days, and I'll concentrate on God there, but the rest of the time, God wants me to work, go to school, be with my family, have fun. And then I take that other time that God gives me to do that and be with him. Sound about right? Because I can't pray always. I can't not quench the spirit. I just can't be under God all the time. Does God ever talk about this? Does he ever deal with the fact that he tells us to be with him at all times, under him, that he's in charge, not us? Does he ever mention anything about how to do it? Of course he does. He wouldn't tell us how to do it and then tell us how. Look here, Colossians 3, verse 23. Everybody's seen this. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily. So when the boss is mad at you, you're working for God, and the boss is participating. As to the Lord, not to men. Whatever you do, do it as to the Lord, not to men. Colossians 3:1. Just go back to the front end of the verse of the chapter. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, how am I going to concentrate on the things I have to do? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then we see down there in verse 23 how to do it. You work as to God. You breathe because God gives you breath. You and I can think, understand, choose to be with God all the time, in his presence all the time, because it's everything is for him. He's making all the other people who don't know anything about this continue in their creation as well. So either we work for men and we override God's purpose and plan for us, or we serve God and let people participate in serving God. People are actually blessed for allowing us to participate with God. Well, I think I've got that. That's an interesting revelation there. But there are times when we have to serve and can't serve God. You know, we have to serve in the church. We can't serve because we're concentrating on what's going on in the church. We can't serve. We can't serve God directly because we have to. All right. Luke 10. If you didn't know we were going to deal with this, it might be a little shocked. Luke 10. How are we going to get anything done in the kingdom when God expects complete and total and absolute dedication, kingdom-level dedication? How are we going to get anything done? Well, we all be praying all the time. No, it's nonsense. See, that's what's wrong with people who dedicate all their time to God. Like, excuse the expression here, I don't want to pick on anybody, but monks and nuns and so forth, where you go into seclusion and all you do is devote your life to God. What's wrong with that? He wants us to live life in this world, learning life from him. You can't do that in that kind of seclusion. You can maybe get a little bit more knowledge about the Bible, but that's about it. You're not learning life there. So, at the risk of being politically incorrect, Luke 10, verse 40. Take a breath. But Martha was distracted by much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She is over there listening to you, and I'm having to do all the work. Therefore, tell her to come help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Your mind is divided. Your concentration is not singular. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? She was spending her life at that moment with Christ. Now remember, it's possible to serve in the church and concentrate deeply on what has to be done, but it is to God, with God, or it's wasted. You want to know more about that? I'll tell you my personal experiences in this issue after services. Take too much time here, because I've got a lot of stories for 50 years of doing exactly what I'm telling us we aren't to do. I was assigned this, and it's going to, by God, be done. And it never works. It's because it's God's world, God's church, God's feasts, God's people, God's body, not my assignment. I have to trust God to take care of the problems that I can't take care of. You mean I'd have to be humble? No, I don't like that. We have to give self to God first, not to mankind first. Give self to God first, not mankind first. When you give yourself to God, He's in charge of how it works. God's design and purpose is beyond and superior to human interaction. And by the way, God is compassionate on humanity, and they are in a willful state of corruption. They've decided to be this way, as we have been, and we come from that. And to have compassion on humanity is not to condone the corruption. It is to sigh and cry over the situation they're in, which will ultimately be repaired. But now they are in mortal danger, and humanity, 7.5 billion humanity, is in the process of dying, killing each other and themselves. Life is about choice. Here are some examples. See if you remember any. Bear much fruit. You can choose to do that. You shall not, with 10 sentences following it. You can choose to do that. Come out of her, my people. You can choose to not be of this world. Be holy because I am holy. You can choose. Remember the weightier matters of the law, not just the physical things which you should remember. You can choose to do that. Strive, run, put on. All these are choices. Being allowed to choose and leave our existence for God is a gift of God. He gives us the ability to choose. We're slaves to whom we obey. See, it's either I obey God or I'm on my own, I'm free. No. Romans 6. We are not ever free. Well, I want to be a slave to God. I want to be in charge of my life. Well, that's what Adam and Eve thought. Romans 6, verse 16. Romans 6:16. It's almost as if Paul is saying, you haven't figured this out? Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Then down to verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit. There it is again. To holiness and the end, everlasting life. All life, all fruit, all good comes from God. Anything else leads to death. Constant, dedicated commitment to God. This new life, it's, by the way, this new life, this new creation, the words used there imply completely created from nothing, not made over. So someone who has a new life put in them is not being made over. There is a new life put there. It's external. It's coming from God. It's a different, what did we learn from Mr. Kubik today? It's a different mindset. It's a different purpose. You change your mind. You repent and see a different direction. There's no hope. None. For self-managed, self-good, self-creation, self-guided beings. Think about it. There is no physical life that exists that was not designed by the God family. Made by God through Jesus Christ. There isn't a thing about us that He didn't make. We certainly didn't make ourselves. And life has a design purpose, and it's built into us. And it can't be overridden. And our part is to choose. Now, we are told to work out our own salvation. Let's see that. Philippians 2. What do you suppose it means? Philippians 2. Work out your own salvation. Well, if it meant you don't need God, then the verse doesn't mean, it makes no sense in context. You can't work out your own salvation independently of God. Well, I can study long enough and I can figure it all out. Nope. Okay, Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that also can mean worship. Fear means basically, both in Old and New Testament, to recognize who is superior. Recognizing who is superior, bowing the knee, bending down. Okay, fear means recognizing who's superior. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So if you're working out your own salvation, and then it's God who works in you, how do those two verses fit together? What we've been talking about. You choose. He has given you the ability to work out your salvation by choosing to allow him to work out his pleasure. Amazing. Truly amazing. And then third, okay, the first one is God as creator, designer, protector, sustainer, and savior, not us. And also, we are working with him. It'll work and live with him, not men. And the third thing is, basically, how do we do this? It has to do with a new set of life priorities. We can't just keep going along the way we are and treading water. There are new life priorities. We have to serve God, not self. And our entire life, our study, our words, our actions are God's, not ours. Where's my individuality? It's a new life. It's a new way of thinking. And we are, remember, slaves to whom we obey. So we're never really individuals. Not in the way we want to be. Don't tell me what to do. We're always being told what to do by some external spiritual force. We're not made to do it. Told what to do. And we choose. So here's part of how we do this. Okay? Remember, we saw something in Colossians 3:2. We're not going to go there again. We saw something in Colossians 3:2. Kind of went over it real quick. It is that we set our minds. We set them. We actually choose and determine with kingdom-level determination to follow God's directions and trust him no matter what happens. We set our minds to serve one master or the other, and we choose all the time. This happens all the time, instantly. So now comes those verses that make no sense because it's not possible. Romans 12. Oh, I know Romans 12. I know what's in Romans 12. That says to be, let's go to Romans 12. That tells us to be a living sacrifice, to present ourselves a living sacrifice. I know what that means, Romans 12, right? No, that's not where we're going. And we're going into Romans 12. It's later on. Okay, Romans 12, verse 11 this time. Romans 12, and it's talking about being in the presence of God, working with God, knowing he's superior to all the powers there are and all of the attitudes and philosophies and concepts and religions and education systems and politics that there are. He's superior to all of it. Far superior to everything. Why would we ever listen to any of those folks or concepts? Romans 12, verse 11. Romans 12, 11. And by the way, this is in the New King James. Romans 12, 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Or, as it says in the King James, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, constantly, never stopping, always in prayer. Meaning that what we're doing is having a conversation with God first. And we choose to do that. It can also mean steadfastly, of course. You know, I mean, there are other places. We can, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, don't turn there. 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Can't do that. Yes, God says you can. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, don't quench the spirit. Luke 18:1, that he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. David, I meditate on your law all the day. Oh, that's just poetry. John 6. By the way, I can't tell you what to do. Can I? You're not going to do what I tell you. So it has nothing to do with the way I explain this. All we're doing is looking at the living word of God telling us he expects complete dedication. Kingdom level dedication is not going off, doing our stuff, and then coming back to him. He lets us do that, but it's not okay. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they're life. So obviously, we have to pray, and we have to look at the word if we want real life in us. We have to pray, be in God's presence at all times, and we have to study. That's what he tells us, isn't it? To leave God as the priority in our minds, in order to work, go to school, to serve, is to leave God. Everything Christians do is constantly in contact with God. And our vain imaginations will make up a reason and justify why we aren't supposed to have to do that at all times. You know, I got to the place, I don't know about you, but I got to the place where, okay, have you ever heard the phrase, put in your prayer? I got in my prayer today. I got in my knee time today. I got in my prayer. I got in my study in my prayer. You know what that really implies? There's that time. I have to do that. And when I get that done, now I can go do what I want to do. I got to the place, and it was unconscious, that, okay, I really want to do more, but I have other things I have to do, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to put all this away now. And then go off and do that. Of course, you've never done that, right? It's wrong. That's not God's way. That's not what God tells us to do. Everything. And by the way, we have to go to him for this. This isn't something that you can study up. You can't go over these notes and figure it out. You have to go to him and say, now tell me how this works, that I'd be in contact with you at all times. Luke 14. Luke 14. This is a pretty simple idea. And if God were standing here and talking to you now, would he ask you this? As you are thinking, what else do I have to do tomorrow? Is God able to provide for his children? Does he even want to? Luke 14, verse 33. 14:33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That doesn't just apply to the men he was talking to. It applies now. It always has. So we learned today that God is creator, designer, protector, sustainer, and savior, not us. We looked at the fact that we work and live with God, not men, and that we are to serve God, not self. Our entire life, our study, our work, our words are of him. And we are to choose this new life, kingdom-level dedication. Let's turn to Acts 3. Acts 3 and verse 19. Choose new life, a life that you do not know, a life you do not understand, a life you cannot imagine doing, where you hand off your responsibility and trust that there is a supreme being who knows more about you than you do. Simple red flags are, if you have instructions, do you actually always follow them? If they make sense or not? No, I thought it through, it doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to do it. Okay, that's a human trait. When God said to Abraham, get you into a far country, this was a rich man with great power and political and wealth, and hey, get out of here and go to a place you've never been. What does the Bible tell us he did? He went. When we don't understand what God tells us to do, what do we say to it? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. I won't do that. Yeah? Choose new life, a new way of thinking, kingdom level dedication. Acts 3, verse 19. Acts 3, 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. So repentance isn't conversion. Repentance is changing your mindset to a new purpose. So repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out and that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When's the presence of the Lord going to happen? Well, look, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you from before, who the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. This was a good creation, and we corrupted it. Repent and be converted so that there will be people there when this times of refreshing happens, when in the presence of the Lord, restoration of all things comes about. That means we have to be in that mindset now, doesn't it? The point of our conscious, ongoing, committed involvement in kingdom-level dedication is God designed into us, inside us, a desire to be eternal and a desire to have a purpose and a sense of a purpose. And he wants us to produce more good life, multiply it. We join God in reproducing himself. Let's turn finally to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. What would be the outcome of a human being who was completely and absolutely owned by God, dedicated to God, knowing their place in his plan, understanding that his life, their life, her life is of God's design? What would be the outcome of a life like that? Matthew 13, verse 43. Then the righteous, verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. That happens, that's not the end. That's not even the beginning of the end. But when that happens, it is the end of the beginning.